faith, and works. Grace is first. We receive it in faith. Our lives are changed, and then it goes out in works, in what we do. It's important to keep that order there, because if we mess up that order and we put works first, like we got to earn God's love, we change the entire scriptures. Because scriptures talk about grace first, then faith, then works. We see it in our own Heidelberg Catechism, where there's an order there. There's guilt and there's grace and there's gratitude. There's a movement there. A movement in the spiritual life that if we turn that around, we really do mess things up. And that was always Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees, is that they had messed up the order. They had gotten it all wrong. And the spiritual life gets all turned around when we do that, if you change the order. And I think the same is true when we come to John 3:16. There's an order there. It's not random. It didn't happen by chance. It happened by the Holy Spirit working in John's life, giving the truth as he wrote this down. There's an order there in this much memorized, much loved verse that is so important. For God so loved the world. That's first. Then, that he gave his one and only Son, then those who believe in him, the next step, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God, in all of those things, in all of those different orders I was talking about, from the Catechism to Ephesians 2 to this verse, God is always first. And I'm not talking about in order of importance. That's a given. God is most important. He's number one. But I'm talking about here, God is first in the matter of time. God is always first. We aren't. God is always before anything that we might do or say or any action that we might have. It always, always, 100% of the time originates with God. God is first. He is before. He is before. That's a life-changing truth if we let it sink into our hearts and souls. God is before us. He's before us. And so we see in this verse that we've been looking at during the season of Advent that we kind of come to a conclusion with it today. For God so loved the world. This is first. God's love is first. It echoes 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. God's love is first. We saw it in the Trinity. The Trinity always existed in love. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit always existed. There was never a time that God was not. It's hard for us to even think about that, but it's true. And they existed together in love. And God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created out of love. And we saw in the message on that how often we just walk away from God. That we turn our back on God, and we're going to use the candles as God, and we just walk away from it. But God relentlessly pursues us. He offers the idea of animals sacrificed for our sins. God calls a nation. God sends prophets one after another. And finally, God sends his one and only Son. In the ultimate act of love, in the ultimate act of relentless love, God pursues us by sending his Son, Jesus. And he came as a human being. And his death pays the price for our walking away. Pays the price for us basically thinking we're first. And the promise of Satan in the garden, you'll be as God if you eat the apple or the fruit. You know, we can't resist that. We want to be as God. We want to be first. We want to be before. We want to make our own choices, our own decisions, do things our way and not God's way. And Jesus dies for that. He takes all of that judgment on him. And you see, this is grace. God first, before. Never, ever in a million years would anyone have dreamt up the idea that a God who is infinite and eternal, and that this God who exists in love creates a world and would send a son in an ultimate act of relentless love. Nobody would have dreamt that up. And that this would be the way of forgiveness. That this would be the way, this baby, as Deb read in the scripture, this baby was going to be named Jesus because he was going to save the people from their sin. Nobody would have dreamt that up. It's incredible. It's incredible. And sometimes we can hear it so much that we miss the incredibleness. I don't know if that's a word or not. Incredibleness of the whole thing. It's absolutely amazing. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God's love, which is first, which is before, is gift love. It's a giving love. The eternal giving of himself for the good of others. Those who cannot earn it nor deserve it. It's a gift. Your first breath in this life is a gift. Your final breath, all the way through, everything is a gift. Every day, every moment. And God's love is first. And I don't want us to think about that in terms of God's love is first. Well, it happened before in Christ. But God's love is first before you wake up in the morning. God loves you already. Before you're even conscious and you're sleepy and you're waking up and you're all kind of confused in there yet. God loves you already. God's love is first before you do anything. Every day. So the first thing that you can do when you get up in the morning is not groan. Got to get up again. Not groan, but to say, hey, I'm loved by God. Before I even wake up, I'm loved by God. And this day is a gift he's given me. I mean, if we really let that sink into our heart and soul, we'd be different people in the day. As we wake up, knowing that God's love is first, it's before. It's literally grace upon grace upon grace. If we could go all the way into infinity, it'd still be grace. Never a moment that I could earn it. So God so loved the world, that's first, that he gave his only son. You see the movement is coming here. That whoever believes in him, we receive this gift with open hands. And in faith, we open the package, the gift God has provided. God loved us. He gave. He's done everything. He's done everything so far. He loved the world and he gave us his only son. He's been doing everything. He's before us. And now he asks one simple thing of us. To believe. To trust. To have faith. That's all he asks. That's all he asks. But oftentimes we come up with excuses. Jesus told a story about that. In Luke chapter 9, he says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus wasn't telling us that we are to be disrespectful to our families. That's not what he's teaching us here. He's teaching us here that we can come up with 1,000 excuses not to trust him. We can come up with excuse after excuse not to give our lives to Jesus. I've been such a sinner in my life. I've done so many bad things. I just can't believe that Jesus would love me, so I'm not going to receive Him into my life. Or I'm too busy. I got a lot of stuff to do. Maybe when I'm 90 or something and I got time, I'll do that. Or I'm too self-preoccupied. You think you're first. You know, I heard a good story about this. Somebody was talking about how we are to humble ourselves. But in this day and age we live in, everybody thinks about themselves, and we are so worried about our self-esteem and our self-worth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, you know, it'd be like a person going to the edge of the Grand Canyon and looking out over this vast expanse of God's creation and thinking to oneself, how great I am. Instead of thinking, how great God is. How great God is. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in self-esteem and self-worth that we forget that it's found really in God and receiving Jesus into our lives. Or we might be too self-righteous to go to the other extreme of too bad. We might think, well, that's good for other people, but I'm a pretty moral person. I pretty much follow all the rules, and I do everything as it's supposed to do. I dot every I. I cross every T. I'm about as moral as you can get. I don't need Jesus. We can go that route too. We can have excuses. Excuse upon excuse. Well, the truth is, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. And every one of us are going to open gifts at this time of year. And the most foolish thing of all would be to leave the gift unopened, just sitting there. And the invitation of God is that whoever believes in Him, that gift has been given. All you got to do is receive it with open hands and open it, as we did last week, and receive Him. Every day, God's gift of love is there for you in Jesus first. And then we see, and you see the movement's been going, the order, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's a positive message in this verse, but we also have to recognize the negative. And so often I have to do this. I got to use a chair because it's one way I think that it stays in our minds to picture this. That when we walk away from God and God's love, and we've thought about that before, when we walk away and we go farther away, we turn our back on God and we keep going and we keep going. And we keep going farther and farther away from God. There comes a point where God says, okay. That's called hell. When we've turned our back on God and just keep going. You see, the promise here is that if we believe in Jesus, we'll not perish. And that's not talking about dying physically, because the Scriptures tell us very clearly that all of us are going to die physically. But it's talking about perishing eternally. It's talking about eternal death. And so what Jesus is telling us here in that order, if you believe in Him, you're not going to perish eternally, you perish in eternal death. But you're going to have eternal life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's love for you does not change when you've gone that far. It does not change. But he does give you a choice. Whether you're going to keep going until you die, and that's called hell. Or if you receive him and return and are given eternal life. God does not desire that anyone perish eternally. But he allows it because he's given us the ability to choose. By choosing to continually walk away. But you see, today the offer is here. It's here. We see that God is before. God's love is first. He is before. His grace is first. His creation is first. His redemption is first. Every day, every moment, God is before. He goes before. And he's actually gone ahead of us and prepared a place for us. We read about that in John 14, 1 through 3, where Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" Jesus has gone before us. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." In all of life, Jesus has gone before us. There's a great verse in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And we're going to close with this today, but just listen to this. Listen to the power of this verse. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." You see, Jesus goes before you. He goes before you. Jesus goes into your tomorrow before you do. Matthew 28:7 has a great verse in the resurrection where the women have found Jesus and Jesus is alive. And he tells them, you know, "Go tell the disciples that I am going ahead of you into Galilee." See, Jesus is always going before us. Jesus is into our tomorrow, the next week, the next month, the next year. He goes before you. And as he goes before you, he also goes with you. He is Emmanuel. We saw that this morning in scripture verses, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That God, he is with us. Jesus goes before you. Jesus goes with you. And then we find out, Jesus doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't say, "Oh, I found other people that are better than you to go with and all that." No, Jesus never leaves you. He says in Matthew 28, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." He doesn't leave you and he doesn't forsake you. In fact, he was forsaken that we might never be. So, Jesus goes before you. Jesus is with you. Jesus doesn't leave you. Jesus doesn't forsake you. Therefore, do not be a slave to fear. There's going to be fearful times, but don't be a slave to it. Don't be a slave to fear, and do not drown in discouragement. Because Jesus says, "I go before you." He's first. His love is first. He gives the gift of himself. He asks us to trust him. And he promises not only to go before us into eternity, but the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next year. And you see, God is not mad at you. God loves you. I believe that with all my heart, that He loves you. And He longs for you to come home to Him and be in that relationship. Not to be separated way out here, but to come home and be with Him in relationship. You see, that's good news. That's good news. And that brings great joy. Great joy. Just pray that today you'll know the order of the verse. That God first loved you before. That He gave His one and only Son for you. That if you believe, if you trust in Him, you're not going to perish eternally. But you are given eternal life that starts right now. That's good news.